Team Gamera appears to have another record. Two Delta planes collide while taxiing at Boston Logan. And United recalls up to 200 pilots. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, July 18, 2011. On Thursday, the students on the Gamera human-powered helicopter team from the University of Maryland's Clark School of Engineering completed their scheduled summer flight session with a new unofficial flight duration of 12.4 seconds. If verified by the National Aeronautic Association, this new time will shatter the team's previous 4.2-second U.S. national record set in May. Between the May flights and Thursdays, the students enhanced Gamera's cockpit and transmission and added LEDs to its landing gear that turn on when the vehicle is off the ground. Judy Wexler, the biology student who piloted the record-setting flight in May, also flew and powered the most recent session. The team plans further flights in the fall to move closer to winning the Sikorsky Prize, established by the American Helicopter Society in 1980. The prize requires a flight of 1 minute, during which the vehicle attains an altitude of 3 meters at some point and remains within a 10-meter square. No team has yet come close to winning the prize, now valued at $250,000. Charges will not be filed against that college football player who was removed from a U.S. Airways flight after boarding in San Francisco wearing baggy pants. Airline officials say 20-year-old Deshaun Marmon was not removed from the plane and arrested for wearing his pants so that his boxers were showing, but rather for failing to comply with a flight crew's request that he pull them up. The NAACP has accused the airline of discrimination in the June 15th incident. The San Francisco Chronicle quotes San Mateo County DA Steve Wagstaff in reporting the police officers on the scene acted appropriately and professionally during their interaction with Marmon, and that criminal charges are not warranted. But Wagstaff also said that Marmon could have ended the entire episode easily, simply by pulling up his pants. But the matter is not considered dropped, if you'll excuse the expression. Marmon's attorney, Joe O'Sullivan, says he plans to file a lawsuit against the airline, which he says has not apologized or rebated the price of the player's ticket. He said he hopes to make it, quote, a more expensive flight for U.S. Airways, unquote. The airline, for its part, said while the situation was unfortunate, it has no intention of apologizing. Two Delta Airlines jets collided while taxiing at Logan International Airport in Boston Thursday evening, causing damage to both planes and one possible injury. According to the NTSB, the wing of a 767 departing for Amsterdam clipped the tail of an Atlantic Southwest CRJ-900 heading for Raleigh-Durham on a Delta codeshare. Reuters reports there were 204 passengers and 11 crew members on the 767 and 77 people on the regional jet. One passenger on board the regional jet complained of a possible neck injury after the accident and was taken to a local hospital for observation. The 767 reportedly taxied back to a gate under its own power. Passengers from the regional jet were bussed back to the terminal. Flight data recorders from both planes are en route to NTSB headquarters. United Continental Holdings said Thursday it will offer 100 to 200 positions to pilots currently on furlough from its United subsidiary to fly aircraft for its Continental subsidiary. The positions will meet the needs currently anticipated for the combined company's operation in 2012. Fred Abbott, Senior VP for Flight Operations for the combined company, commented, quote, "We are pleased that through cooperation with the Airline Pilots Association, we are able to offer the opportunity for these United pilots to come back to work. We will continue to focus on negotiating a single contract for all of our pilots as we work towards our single operating certificate," unquote. Space Exploration Technologies, aka SpaceX, says formal Orbital Sciences executive and industry leader Mark Bitterman is joining the company's Washington office as Senior VP of Government Affairs. Bitterman joined SpaceX after serving in a similar role at Orbital for 19 years. SpaceX President Gwynne Shotwell explains, quote, "Mark's leadership will ensure critical policymakers remain knowledgeable on the ways SpaceX can lower the cost and improve the reliability of accessing space while providing the best value for the taxpayer," unquote. Of his new gig, Bitterman notes, quote, "Over the past few years, I've watched the company establish itself as a major force in the industry, and now look forward to playing a leadership role as the company enters its next phase. My focus at SpaceX will be to further strengthen the company's relationships with Congress during a time of great challenges for the nation's civil, commercial, and military space programs." Unquote. Astronauts getting set for spacewalks around the International Space Station may enjoy their work, but you won't hear them whistling as they exit the airlock to work outside the station. Astronaut Jim Riley told ABC News, quote, "You hear humming, but not whistling," unquote. The phenomenon was first noticed by former astronaut Dan Barry, who reportedly tried whistling during a spacewalk in May of 1999. Barry consulted with Mission Control, who told him that it's a simple matter of air pressure. Spacesuits are pressurized to 4.3 pounds per square inch. Normal atmospheric pressure is 14.7. There are simply not enough air molecules passing through your lips to make any sound. Barry said had he been able to whistle, the tune he would have chosen was the Seven Dwarfs classic, Whistle While You Work. Up next on ANN, AEA urges members to contact Congress over Light Squared. ATA says fees are okay for the airlines, but not for airports. And NBAA fears user fees may be back on the table. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, July 18th. I'm Paul Plack. As a member of the Coalition to Save Our GPS, the Aircraft Electronics Association is encouraging its members to make comments to the Federal Communications Commission to fight LightSquared's proposed plan to offer wireless broadband services in radio frequency bands adjacent to those used by GPS receivers. AEA joins a host of aviation groups and marine interests in urging comments. Find out more at AEA.net. ATA, the Air Transport Association of America, has called on lawmakers to drop proposals to increase aviation passenger taxes to address the national debt limit, saying that hiking aviation taxes could slow economic recovery, further burden customers, and cost jobs. ATA President Nicholas Calio commented, quote, "We oppose any increase in aviation passenger taxes. The industry already pays more than its fair share of taxes, more than alcohol and tobacco products that are taxed at levels to discourage their use. Today, on a typical $300 round-trip ticket, passengers already pay $63 in taxes and fees," unquote. Calio went on to cite the positive economic impact of his industry. He did not bring up the billions in new airline a la carte fees the industry itself has added to passengers' burdens in the last 3 years. In an open letter to the membership of NBAA, President and CEO Ed Boland Friday urged the organization's members to contact their members of Congress to let them know they oppose any increase in aviation user fees. Quote, "As Congress and the White House negotiate over the nation's deficit and debt ceiling, the business aviation community has cause for alarm. We are very concerned that aviation user fees could reemerge, despite the fact that our community has made a compelling case against them to Congress, and both chambers have elected not to propose new aviation user fees, instead opting to build on the proven, efficient general aviation fuel tax for aviation system funding and modernization. Please take action on this issue today to alert your officials to this serious concern. Thank you for your advocacy on the industry's behalf and your continued support for NBAA," unquote. The first production model F-35 Lightning II to be assigned to the 33rd Fighter Wing arrived at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida Thursday afternoon, after a ferry flight of more than 90 minutes from Fort Worth, Texas. The aircraft, known as AF-9, will be used for training pilots and maintainers beginning this fall. AF-9 is a conventional takeoff and landing version of the stealth fighter. Overall, the jet is the third production model F-35 delivered to the U.S. Air Force, with the first two assigned to Edwards Air Force Base in California. The fully integrated F-35 pilot and maintenance training center at Eglin includes pilot and maintenance training equipment, support, systems, and facilities for all three variants of the plane. With production on its 737 ramping up, Boeing has opened a new paint hangar near its Renton, Washington facility that will help increase production capacity. The program currently produces 31.5 planes per month and expects to go to 35 per month early next year, 38 per month in the second quarter of 2013, and 42 per month in the first half of 2014. One of the first planes to be painted in the facility was a 737-700 for Southwest Airlines, completed on Wednesday. The facility was refurbished in collaboration with the city of Renton. The paint hangar was originally built in the late 1950s at the start of the 707 program and was also used to paint 727s and 757s until 1994. It has state-of-the-art environmental control and fire suppression systems. Boeing expects the market for single-aisle aircraft will continue to grow over the next decade and beyond. And finally today, Carmageddon turned out to be way overhyped over the weekend. The 405 freeway around Los Angeles was closed for about 53 hours, but civilization does appear to have survived. Friday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, the 405 freeway around Los Angeles was completely closed for work on the Sepulveda Pass. The LADOT used its website to urge drivers to plan ahead, avoid the area, or stay home during the planned demolition work on the Mulholland Bridge, part of a major improvement project. It turns out there was at least one more option for something to do during the road closure. Adventure Helicopter Tours offered a Carmageddon helicopter tour package for a bird's-eye view of the empty freeway, a historic site, as well as the expected chaos as all those drivers tried to find alternate routes. The 45-minute flights originated at Whiteman Airport in L.A., according to the blog Urban Daddy, and included a pre-flight champagne toast and aerial views of the Santa Monica Pier and the Hollywood sign. You gotta love entrepreneurs. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells us why airliner-sized traffic patterns make no sense for small piston aircraft and how they can also be dangerous. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.